arranging for our own disappearance. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about that because the question we're really going to get into, is it possible that with our social, ecological, and political challenges, the meta crisis, in other words, might we be so off the path? Might we be so lost that we paradoxically have to purposely get lost again? To get more lost, in other words, we're going to put it that way. Well, that's the premise of today's Poetry, Passion, and Pleasure podcast, because I really do believe that we have gotten so far off the track in terms of what we're experiencing, again, politically, ecologically, socially, that we have to actually move beyond what we know so that we can begin to step into a new story, a new narrative, and that will require, as the title of our episode today, arranging for our own disappearance, or at least what we have thought about as our beliefs, as our identity, as the way that we've been moving and thinking in the world and acting in the world. And what I've chosen for us today are three brief poems by the amazing poet Emily Dickinson, because she had this way of using language in a way that leaves us intoxicated in a real sense, so that we're able to let go of all those beliefs, let go of the kind of static beliefs that we say this is the way life is. Emily Dickinson says, well, not so fast. Think of it this way. Okay. So the first poem is called The World Is Not Conclusion, and that is the first line. The world is not conclusion. The world is not conclusion. A species stands beyond, invisible as music, but positive as sound. Now, just think about those first few lines where Emily Dickinson is talking about how ethereal, you can say, a song, a piece of music is, a poem, because the words come at us and then they leave. It's like smoke spiraling up. But it, in a way, it allows us to see the world in a different way. The world is not conclusion. A species stands beyond, invisible as music, but positive as sound. It beckons and baffles. It beckons and it baffles. She's saying it right off the bat. Philosophy don't know. Philosophy don't know. And through a riddle at the last, sagacity, being a sage, sagacity must go. Sagacity must go to guess it, puzzles scholars. To gain it, men have borne contempt of generations and crucifixion shown. Faith slips and laughs and rallies, blushes if any see, plucks at a twig of evidence and asks of vain the way. Much gesture from the pulpit, strong hallelujahs roll, narcotics cannot still the tooth that nibbles at the soul. Someone asked the poet William Stafford, who was the best female American poet? And he says, how about the best American poet? And then he answered Emily Dickinson. So in this poem, don't worry, about getting each particular line, although, we could go back and see, philosophy don't know, and through a riddle at the last, sagacity must go to guess it, puzzle scholars. I mean, there are all these hints in there, but basically I think what she's doing is saying life is mystical at its root. Life is mystical at its root. Life transcends itself. The language we use pales in comparison to what is there, to what is there. And I think that we have become so certain. This is one of the things about, you know, the notion of the meta crisis, that all these different things are coming at us. And yet the way our minds work, the human mind, linear, one idea, one word at a time. And we have run into challenges, into these conundrums that are not going to be solved. As Albert Einstein said, you cannot solve a huge paradoxical challenge at the level of thinking that created that problem. You can't do it. Now, you know, I was just at a weekend event or an event recently, a wonderful event with the amazing poet, philosopher, speaker, teacher, Bio Akamalefe. And Bio is, what an amazing person, what an amazing teacher, soul, thinker. And the title of the program that I attended with my wife was Losing Ourselves Together, which is the theme that we're talking about today, our theme, arranging for our own disappearance. And Bio's theme was, and the program was, Losing Ourselves Together. And I think it's fair to say that Bio originally gave me this idea that at times we must purposely lose ourselves, as he says, purposely fall through the cracks so that we have some chance of gaining of feeling our way into challenges that are just beyond us, certainly beyond the kind of thinking, certainly beyond the paradigm, certainly beyond the narratives that we have been working with. Okay, let's continue with our other two brief Emily Dickinson poems. This one is called Much Madness is Divinest Sense. And that's the first line. Much madness is divinest sense. To a discerning eye, much sense, the starkest madness. To a discerning eye, that which seems to, you know, that which passes for making sense, right? For common sense is the starkest madness, says Emily Dickinson. Tis the majority in this as all prevail. Tis the majority in this as all prevail. Assent, assent, and you are sane. So go along with the program. Go along with the program and you are sane. Demure, she says. Demure, the last two lines of the poem. Demure, you're straightaway dangerous. Demure, you're straightaway dangerous. And handled with a chain. Now think about that. Think about, and I don't say this with some, you know, like I know and others don't know and look at them. I don't say it that way. I say it as a prayer, because when I say it as a prayer, it's like the idea that when a system, when the old paradigm, you know, we are moving, as the good folks at the Context Institute like to talk about, we are moving into the planetary era. It is an incredibly different era. And it won't be smooth and it won't be all at once, but we're moving toward this notion where the planet itself is become sacred again, where relationships become as important as things, the relationship between things, which is another way of talking about systems. And this idea that Emily Dickinson is talking about in this poem, to a discerning eye, much sense, the starkest madness. It's, you know, Here in 1862, she's talking about the thing that's as prescient, that is today as this minute. It is right now. Because when people talk about that we should be able to grow endlessly on a finite planet, that we should be able to have our economic system look exactly like cancer looks when it grows and grows and grows, and very quickly and often actually kills the host. This is the metaphor of our current economic system, or at least much of it. So she is saying, to a discerning eye, much sense, so much common sense, in other words, the starkest madness. The starkest madness. Now, again, not to get too much into history, but if you think about what was going on in the United States in 1862 and what the political scene was then. Yeah, in and around the Civil War. So she says, 'tis the majority in this as all prevail. So it's like the majority, even if the majority is scared and afraid and continuing, because the idea is that we are so identified with this economic system, with this social system, with the way things are, that we're so afraid and identified with it, that it's hard for us to move beyond it. This is where we need to get lost. We need to stumble our way into a new faith, into something that is more workable. Assent and you are sane. So if you go along with the program, you're sane. Demure, you're straightaway dangerous and handled with a chain. Okay. You know, there was a famous Churchill quote and a story he would say during World War II. He said, well, you know, Americans always do the right thing after they've tried everything else. Well, maybe the current theme is we human beings, when it comes to all these existential predicaments and challenges, the overshoot of the ecological things that are going on, our the rise of nationalism, the rise of the political challenges, which seem to be so rampant now, and social challenges, you know, that maybe it's that, you know, we humans will do the right thing after we've tried everything else. Well, let's see. This last poem by, again, Emily Dickinson, who we're featuring today. This is called The Brain. The Brain is Wider Than the Sky. The Brain is Wider Than the Sky. And that's the first line. The brain is wider than the sky. For put them side by side, the one the other will contain. The one the other will contain. With ease, and you with ease, and you beside. The brain is deeper than the sea, for hold them blue to blue. The one the other will absorb, as sponges buckets do. The brain is just the weight of God. How about that for a line? The brain is just the weight of God, for heft them pound for pound, and they will differ, if they do, as syllable from sound, as syllable from sound. Again, a wonderfully disorienting, but disorienting in the most spiritual, mysterious way. I love how, you know, the brain is wider than the sky. It's like, again, this poem was written approximately in 1862, my notes say. Can you imagine? This poem is, 100 and, I don't know what, 50? Well, no, not quite. But yeah, it's 150 years ago or so. And, you know, the insights of Emily Dickinson, what she was getting, what's coming through in this poem. You know, like we say, linear words ought not to be able to lift off the page and give us this kind of insight, but they do. They do. The brain is deeper than the sea, for hold them blue to blue, the one the other will absorb as sponges buckets do. Just such deliciousness there. And the last stanza again, the brain is just the weight of God. How about that? How about that? For heft them, pick them up, pound for pound, and they will differ if they do, as syllable from sound. The mystery, the mystery. So one of the things I love about poetry is that it often allows us to arrange for our own disappearance. And this quote, by the way, originally came, the first time I heard it was from the poet David White. But this arranging for our own disappearance, we just get so weary and so tired of the ways that we've been thinking about our lives, maybe our society, the ways that we've been thinking about how we are working with the world and our relationship with the world and our relationship with each other as a society. And the idea is that sometimes we need to lose ourselves together, as Bio Akamalefe says. And sometimes we need to arrange for our own disappearance in order to step into a new reality, a new kind of faith, a new kind of story. And poetry, I think, can so often help poets like Emily Dickinson. Okay, that's a wrap for Poetry, Passion, and Pleasure podcast. Thank you so much for your listening ear. And make a comment below if you want. Like the like the podcast, or however, if you're looking at it on one of the audio platforms or YouTube, and refer it if you know someone who would maybe appreciate the podcast. Again, thank you so much for your listening ear. Until next time, and next poem and poems, please, please take good care of yourself. And if you can, someone else.